Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 23 through 27. Hear now the word of the Lord. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our text this morning takes place just after Jesus has been having some conversations with a few would-be followers about the cost of discipleship. Jesus basically says that following him must take priority over every other commitment in our lives. But as our text makes clear this morning, as long as we are with Jesus, then we are where we're supposed to be, even when the storms of life threaten to sink our boat. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, I pray now that you would pour your Holy Spirit through me, that these words might truly become your living word to your people. And I pray that you would open up each of our hearts and minds that we might receive that word exactly in the place that we need to hear it. For we pray this in the name of our risen and reigning Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Like the disciples, at some point in our lives, most of us made a commitment to follow Jesus. Maybe for you, it was a result of your parents' determination to fulfill the baptismal vows they made on your behalf, and so they brought you to church every week when you were growing up because this is who we are. Or maybe you had some friends who were Christians who influenced you. Or maybe there was just some significant person in your life who encouraged you by word and example to become a disciple of Jesus. Or maybe you just had some distinct encounter with the risen Savior in your life that made such an impact on you that you just couldn't ignore it. And so you began to learn about Jesus. Maybe you started reading the Bible a little and coming to worship. Maybe you went to some Sunday school classes or some youth group gatherings. Maybe you really tried to live the Christian faith. And maybe you stuck with it and have maintained a growing relationship with Jesus to this day. And maybe you haven't. Maybe other commitments and other priorities and other interests, or maybe your doubts or even just the busyness of life got in the way, and Jesus became just a name that you were familiar with, but not a person you really knew. After all, it's so much easier to know about someone than to actually know them. And this is especially true of Jesus. Now, the disciples had been learning a lot about Jesus, but they still did not understand who he was. They had listened carefully to all of his teachings, especially the Sermon on the Mount, which turned many of their understandings upside down. But what was most riveting about the sermon for the disciples was the way it ended. See, Jesus said that anyone who hears his words and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. When the rains came and the floods arose and the wind blew and pounded against that house, it did not fall because it was built on rock. But anyone who hears his words and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. When the storm came and pounded against that house, it collapsed. And great was its fall. Now, the reason this parable was so vivid for the disciples is that they very much had the experience of facing sudden storms that would arise, especially on the Sea of Galilee, where several of them were fishermen. See, it's a relatively small lake, about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. It's also almost 700 feet below sea level, which makes it a warm and pleasant place, but also one that is fraught with danger. You see, on the western side of the lake, there are hills with valleys and gullies. And when a cold wind blows in from the west, those valleys and gullies act like gigantic funnels. The winds become compressed on them, and then they rush down on the lake with startling suddenness and savage violence, so that the peace and calm of one moment becomes the raging storm of the next. Now, you know about these storms, don't you? Well, the sky in your life is bright and clear one day, and then the next thing you know, you're sitting in a hospital room as your doctor goes over treatment options. The phone rings while you are peacefully sipping your morning coffee, and a quivering voice on the other end says, "There's been an accident." You go to work like you have every day for years, and yet you end up leaving with all of your belongings after being told your services are no longer needed. Your spouse comes home from work one day, hands you some papers, and says, "I'm filing for divorce." And when these storms come crashing into the boat that is our life, we often feel out of control and very afraid. It may even seem as if our lives are surely over. Well, in our text this morning, the disciples are out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus when, without warning, a violent storm suddenly appears, plunging them all into terrible danger as their boat was being buffeted by the waves and pounded by the wind. And the disciples are terrified. Now, that's not really all that surprising. As you read through the Gospels, the disciples are often afraid as they attempted to follow Jesus. Now, the surprising thing about this story is that Jesus is sound asleep. He's just lying there somewhere in the boat, his head on a pillow, sleeping like a baby in the midst of a raging storm. And the disciples are freaking out, sure that this is going to be the end of them all. And so in their panic, they shake Jesus awake and shout, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." I wonder, has anyone here ever had the experience of going through a difficult time in your life and yet having the nagging suspicion that Jesus was off somewhere taking a nap, paying no attention to the storm that was sinking your life? Maybe you even prayed fervently for God's intervention, and yet all you heard was the sound of thunder booming all around you as your boat continued to fill up with water. The truth is, there are times in all of our lives when it seems as if God is fast asleep, while we are crying out for help in the midst of a terrifying storm. But Jesus has a rather interesting response when the disciples cry out to him for help. Notice, he does calm the storm, but not right away. Instead, while that storm is still raging, while the waves are still pounding their little boat, while the wind and the rain are still blinding their vision, Jesus throws out a challenge to his terrified disciples, saying, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" I mean, did they really think he was going to let them all drown? Do they still not understand who he is? Did they still not see that the Son of God is in their boat? You know, contrary to what many people might think, when a crisis comes into our lives, it usually does not create faith. Instead, a crisis reveals it. It reveals whether we have built our house on a foundation of rock or sand. It reveals whether we have invested our lives in a relationship with Jesus, studying his word, obeying his commands, taking part in his mission, sharing in his life. It reveals whether we have come to know and trust Jesus, or if we have just learned a few things about him. And be very sure, you can spend your whole life learning about Jesus and never have a personal relationship with him. He can remain an interesting object of study without ever becoming Lord of your life, without ever becoming the one you trust to carry you faithfully through the storm. And how you live when the weather in your life is good makes all the difference. In my experience, most people respond to tragedies and difficult circumstances in their lives much the same way they respond to everything else in life. And if you go through life focusing on God's word and God's goodness and blessings and grace when times are good, then you will tend to focus on those same things in the hard times as well. In fact, those things will become the anchor in the midst of the storm that keeps you from being swept out to sea. And the more you devote yourself to worship and prayer and scripture and practicing gratitude, the more aware you become of the saving presence and power of Jesus in your life. But if you go through your life without any real relationship with Jesus, without learning to know and trust him, then when the storm comes along, you will flounder in the waves, panicked and afraid, certain that Jesus must be asleep in the boat, unaware or unconcerned about what is happening in your life. This is why the Apostle Paul urges us to train ourselves in the faith much as athletes train themselves in their bodies. See, you don't wait until game time to suddenly start working on your skills and your conditioning. By then, it's far too late. And you don't wait until the crisis comes along and your boat is filling up with water and then expect that reading a few pithy verses of scripture or throwing out a few emergency prayers is going to save the day. Notice, when Jesus himself was being tested by Satan in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days, he was able to resist this devil's temptation by quoting scripture from memory. God's word had become such a part of his life that it became not only his greatest comfort during that difficult trial, but also his greatest defense. Jesus didn't wait until then to suddenly start studying and internalizing scripture. No, it had become a way of life for him. And so it gave Jesus the peace and the courage and the strength that he needed to get through that difficult test and to fulfill the rest of his earthly ministry. Of course, Jesus would face bigger storms than this along the way, but once again, his Father's word and his Father's love would carry him through. The truth is, we all are going to face storms along the way as we seek to follow Jesus in our lives. Remember, we are never promised a life of smooth sailing when we become Christians. But what we are promised is that the risen Savior will always be with us through every storm, through all the disappointments and the heartache, through the tragedies and the losses, urging us to not be afraid, but to have faith in him. For there is not a storm in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we have to invest ourselves in a relationship with Jesus and commit to knowing and acting on his word if it's going to make any difference in our lives. For Jesus is not an ambulance driver who shows up in the nick of time every time there's an emergency. And if we continue to view him that way, then he will continue to appear to be asleep in our boats, unaware of what's going on, but that only reveals that we still don't understand who Jesus is. And that means that we are actually the ones who are asleep, unconscious to the presence and the activity of the risen Savior in our lives. Well, when Jesus does finally calm the storm with but a word, his disciples are all stunned, and they ask one another, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" What sort of man indeed? For as the scripture makes clear, it is the Creator alone who has the power to do something like that. And yet, it's not exactly the right question. No, the better question is, who is this man? Who is this person who is Lord even over the storm that is sinking my life? Who is this Jesus? There is no more important question that you will ever ask in your life. And if you get that one wrong, you get everything else wrong. For it is Jesus alone who has the power to save you in life and in death. You see, we keep thinking that Jesus can only save us by keeping our boat afloat and getting us through the storm. But we have a risen Savior who has conquered death itself. And that means that as long as Jesus is with us, then he will save us even if our boat goes down in the storm. He will save us even in death. And let's be honest, we are all perishing, just as the disciples said. There is no way for any of us to safely avoid death. But being afraid is the best way to avoid life. And yet Scripture assures us that perfect love casts out fear. And the good news of the gospel is that the perfect love of God has come that you might have life and have it abundantly in the person of Jesus Christ, regardless of the weather in your life. And he is in your boat. The Son of God is in your boat. And if you will place your faith and your life into the hands of the Savior, the God who is with us through every storm, he'll love the fear right out of you. Amen.